Take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Once you arrive at 2 Peter chapter 3, I would like for you to find verse number 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse number 16, and I'm going to read these verses to you out loud, but I am going to ask that everyone stand out of reverence to the Word of God for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 16. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scripture, unto their own destruction. Ye, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." Right at the beginning of verse number 18, you have the title of my sermon. It says, "But grow." But grow. That's what God wants for you and I. He wants a lot of things in our life, but he wants us to grow. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, lots of emotions in this building this day. And they're all wonderful emotions. God, now we need to concentrate on the Bible. We need to concentrate on the only book that you ever wrote. And God, may we just not meet today as a social gathering, but may we understand that you wanted to challenge us in a supernatural way. Minimize the interruptions. Maximize thy Spirit's presence. And help Christians here today to analyze themselves about their growth in Jesus Christ. Bless us now with thy presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Notice here the Bible says, "But grow in grace." You and I are to be growing in grace. I call the sermon, "But grow." That'll be simple to remember. Maybe we could call the sermon, "Signs of Christian Maturity." I think we all know this. Someone is born and they begin to grow up, and their body grows and their mind grows and their perceptions begin to grow. You and I, we are to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I'll tell you a little story real quickly. I've helped to lead a couple of different Bible colleges. I had a group of Bible college preacher boys with me on a trip once, and we had gone into an area where some famous, well-known preachers of years gone by had been reared, or place where those great preachers had influenced, and those preachers had long since passed away. But I was kind of taking these preacher boys on a little tour, and we were in, again, a city of a great preacher of years gone by. One sitting on a street bench was an old man, I suppose, you know, in his 80s, a full head of gray hair, much like mine. But this old fellow was sitting on the bench, and these preacher boys were with me, and I wasn't paying attention. And a preacher boy went over and asked this guy sitting on the bench. He said to him, he said, "Hey, any great men born around here?" The old gray-haired man said, "Nope, just babies." I see the humor, but that old man was pretty wise. Nobody's born a success. Everybody's born a baby. Nobody is born great. They're just born babies. You are physically born a baby and then you grow. But again, might I apply that to us spiritually? When somebody gets born again, it doesn't matter how old they are, how tall they are, how much they weigh. When someone gets born again, as that day, they're a babe in Christ. And in our church, we have some that were born again many, many years ago and you've grown. Yet we have others that were born this week, born again in Jesus Christ. You say, what does he want? He wants for me and you the same thing that we want for our children. We want our children to grow up. Boy, we get so excited about that. You know, you have a little one, and before long, people are saying, boy, he's looking pudgy. Look at that. And look at how big he's getting. And the kids, as they're growing all the way through, everybody's always commenting, you're getting tall. You're getting big. Look at how long his legs are. And, you know, you grow long enough, you get tired of hearing that. I don't want to hear how big my belly is now, although it's true. But we grow and we enjoy growing. Listen, folks, everybody that's born again ought to be growing in the Lord. New Christian, you're supposed to be growing. You're not to be idle. You're not to get saved and just sit there. No, not at all. You're to be growing. Older Christians, you're to be growing. Young people, you're to be growing in the Lord. You older people that have a few more miles on you, you're to be growing in the Lord. And let me say something to you. If you're still alive, God left you alive, and there's still room for you to grow. No matter how old you are, you don't know it all. You still need to grow. The highly educated need to continue to grow. The less educated, you need to continue to grow. The highly successful, you need to continue to grow in the Lord. Maybe the less successful, you need to grow in the Lord. You need to be growing. Hey, parents, you're to be growing. Children, you're to be growing. Teacher, you're to be growing. To me, the best teachers are the teachers that are still learning. But teachers, you're to be growing. Students, you're to be growing. Bosses, you're to be growing. Employees, you're to be growing. The strong are to grow stronger. Hey, the weak are to be learning and growing and developing. The leader is to be growing, and the follower is to be growing. Folks, don't just live your life. Grow in your life. Go forward in your life. Produce in your life. Don't be idle. Don't put it in neutral and just coast. Be going somewhere. Be accomplishing. Be learning. And be growing. Now, my sermon gets much simpler than the introduction, and the introduction was obviously quite simple. I want to show you, I want to talk to you for a little while. I'm going to make some very practical points about growing. How are you doing in regard to this thing of growing in the Lord? Let me explain some things. For instance, number one, one who is growing in the Lord does more and more because it is right and less because they feel like it. Let me say it again. One who's growing in the Lord does more and more because it is right, and less because they feel like it. I'll give you a verse. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Notice it said, "Thy word is what's guiding me, not my feelings." Listen, folks. As you're growing in the Lord, you do more and more because God told you to do it. And you do less and less in your life because you feel like it. This is the process of letting the Bible become your decision maker. I seen a little plaque somewhere the other day, and it said, follow your heart to success. I have to tell you something. Your heart will not lead you to success. Your heart will put you on a merry-go-round and probably make you motion sick if you're not careful. Let me simplify point number one. You ought not do what you feel like doing. You ought to do what's right. And that's what makes great Christians. And that is a sign of growth. You say, well, preacher, I like coming to church because I feel good about it. I'm glad you do, but on the days that you don't feel good about it, you get your tail in here anyway. Because you're not supposed to come to church because you feel like coming to church. You're to come to church because it's right to do. And that's bottom line in the Christian life. See, I think we consider less and less what others think, and we consider more and more what God thinks. That's growth in the Christian life. Popular opinion should have less influence on your decision making, and God's opinion ought to be prominent in your decision making. Hey, if you're growing in the Lord, we should refer to the Bible first on all decisions, not as a last resort. If you're growing in the Lord, you are more and more saying, what's the Bible say? What would the Bible have me to do? What would the Bible teach me to do? And less, what do I think? Hey, don't think what you think first. Think what God thinks first, because God's thinker is better than yours. On whatever decisions, we should assume the Bible does give instructions. Don't assume it doesn't. You know, the Bible has something to say about just about everything. You know, the average person, if they've got a decision to make, they get to thinking and gathering information from everywhere under the sun. If they can't figure it out, they may finally say, well, I'll ask God. Might have been good to ask God, the originator of everything, in the first place. You say, preacher, what's a way to know if I'm growing? If you are growing in the Lord, you are depending less and less on your emotions and less on your mind, and you're depending more and more on God's mind and more on the Bible. That's growth in the Christian life. There's some of you, you still make 95% of your decisions in life with your brain. You are definitely cheating yourself. You say, you saying I got a bad brain? No, I'm saying God's got a great brain. Go to God first. Let me give you another idea. How do we know that we're growing in the Lord? One who is growing in the Lord wants to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with people that are uninterested in God. That's how you know you're growing in the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Folks, if you're growing in the Lord, your associations are purifying. Look, there are some of you, you got saved 2 years ago, you still have some of the very same friends you had 2 years ago, and by the way, some of them are terrible for you. You ought to be growing. And I'm not telling you to be rude to them, I'm not telling you to hate them, but it ought to be, if you're growing in the Lord, they are less and less interested in what you are because you are not now what you used to be, and they ought to be losing disinterest in you some. That is, if you're, are you acting like a Christian around them? Do you adapt to what they are? Well, that's not much Christianity, is it? Association should be purifying. Your choice of who you fellowship with should be developing. And you should be developing some strict guidelines. Who you spend time with should be an issue in your thinking. You pick your friends because you're trying to be careful with your Christianity, not to taint it, not to subject yourself to things that you shouldn't be around. I want to tell you why some of you are not doing so well in your Christianity. You got saved and you want victory in your life, but you're spending all your time with people that never have victory. They never do right. They don't talk right. They don't do right. They don't go to the right places. And you spend a lot of time around them, but you want to know why you don't have good Christianity. You're becoming like those that you associate with. That's pretty common. You lay down with pigs, you're going to get a curl in your tail and you might smell. You lay down with a dog, you're going to wake up with fleas. Hey, we, as we grow, we begin to pick our friends that think right and they have the right Bible. Listen, I'm not trying to do something for my church. I'm trying to do something for God's people. But let me explain. When you get saved, you ought to start developing friendships and associations with born-again Christians that love God. That's what you're supposed to do. So you begin picking your friends based on some of their separation from the world, and you begin picking your friends on their attendance at church and their involvement in church and their loyalty to God and to the Bible. Hey, if you're growing, here's what I said. One who's growing in the Lord wants to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the not so good. If you're growing in the Lord, you do what you do more and more because it is right and less because you feel like it. Thirdly, one who is growing in the Lord experiences more conflict with Satan. Hate to tell you this, but I have to tell you. It's the truth. If you're growing in the Lord, there's somebody that's not happy about it. And I'm not talking about, you know, Aunt Lucy now. I'm talking about the devil. The more you do right, the more Satan wants to stop you. The stronger your influence for God, the more Satan wants to damage that influence. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, why in the world do I need to be strong in the Lord, and why would I need might? Well, let me tell you why. We're in a battle. We're in a war. Now, there's some of you that say, oh, I don't feel like I'm in a battle, and I don't feel like I'm in a war. Well, come hang around with me for a little while. I know I'm in a battle. I know I'm in a war. There's some of you, you're such weak Christians. The devil's not trying to get you to do much. He's not fighting you much. Why? You give him no reason to fight you. Folks,
Wouldn't it be true that the devil ought to be mad at good Christians? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got all this junk in the press and everything about Russia. Can I tell you something? Other countries meddling with my country makes me mad. I want to keep their nose out of our business. But you know what it ought to be? If I've got my nose in the devil's business, he ought to be mad. You say, well, what's his business? He wants to take everybody to hell that he can, and I'm trying to take everybody to heaven that I can. He wants to ruin every life that he can, and I want to salvage every life that I can. And when I get into his backyard and start playing with his toys, and I'm out there trying to help people, the devil's going to say, I'm upset with that guy. Hey, the devil mad at you about anything? Have you given him anything to want to attack you about? Are you just a pacifist Christian that's floating along like a dead fish on the top of the water, just trying to make it along? Hey, folks, we weren't put in this life to let life happen to us. We were put in this life, and we are to happen to life. You know, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know what the average person thinks? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There's a devil attacking the church. No, that's not what it said. It said, we're attacking the gates of hell. You say, the devil's attacking our church. Our church is attacking the devil. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're growing in the Lord, you're going to suffer some conflict with the enemy. And as you grow, learn, expect some opposition. I'm not talking about how you oppose yourself. Look, if I tell you don't go get drunk, that'll ruin your life. And you go get drunk and you say, the devil's attacking me. Well, you did that to yourself. You were told, you know the difference between right and wrong. You don't be spending all your time just fighting that one little petty thing. But let me say, your conflict with Satan is not as much about your attraction to the world anymore, but now you're trying to be productive for Jesus and God. And so your big war is not just with you and worldliness. You're trying to get something done for God, and it makes the devil mad. I don't like it for our church, but it's going to exist. Folks, as long as our church is going to grow, we're going to preach the gospel. Now, if you want me to mamby-pamby, whiny boy preach, I could do that and probably calm things down and the devil wouldn't get mad at our church. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep reaching into the community and get everybody saved that we can. We're going to try to salvage every family that we can. We're going to preach against sin all that we can. We're going to help as many people as we can. You know what? The devil's not going to like that. I had a pastor say to me, he said, you know, Brother Owens, our church isn't like yours, and we just never have, I don't think the devil attacks our church. And I think he was trying to tell me I ought to change something. If the devil wasn't attacking my church, there'd be something wrong. Shouldn't the devil be mad at the church? What's wrong with us? And when you're growing in the Lord, you're going to tick off the other guy. He's not going to be happy about it. See, when you're growing in the Lord, you do less and less because you feel like it, but you do more and more because the Bible says so, and it's right to do. And when you're growing in the Lord, you spend less and less time with the old crowd and more time with the crowd that's purifying and want to serve God. And when you're growing in the Lord, you're going to have an increased conflict with the devil because you're doing more and more for God, and the devil's getting more and more disgusted with what you're doing. Number four, one who's growing in the Lord, they panic less and less when life's crushing matters come to them. Let me say it again. One who's growing in the Lord, they panic less when the hardships of life come down on them. Why? Well, Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle walls of partition between us." God is our peace. Folks, the more you get around God, the closer you get to God, the more of God's peace is available to you. And what could have crushed you emotionally 2 years ago, now you face identical burdens, but because you have strengthened in your faith in God and you have strengthened in your belief that God's a good God, you don't panic like you used to. As you grow, you are calmed by the Bible promises. Promises like He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My peace I give unto you. Hey, as you grow, you learn that His grace is sufficient. As you grow, your dependence becomes on the Holy Spirit instead of your spirit, and the Holy Spirit doesn't freak out. And I realize there are people here to be bothered by what I'm about to say, but you need to be told the truth. Some of you need to panic less and have faith more. Panic less, have faith more. And I know somebody's going to get mad at me about this. I didn't even know panic attacks existed when I grew up. Well, I did panic if my dad said, go to my room, son, I need to talk to you. Do you understand how anemic the emotions of the United States of America become? Christians need to get it together. The closer you get to God, the more your faith in God will be strengthened and the stronger you will become emotionally. But if you're sitting idle and you got saved and you just pop into church every once in a while to make yourself look good, you're not going to grow and your emotions are going to continue to be unstable. And I'm not Dr. Phil or Oprah, but I do know what the Bible teaches. And as you're growing, there is a strengthening of your emotion because God now lives inside you and He brings a peace and He brings a faith. We begin to grow on our dependence of the Holy Spirit, and we have less fear and more faith and less panic and more peace. And that's a part of growth. Number five, one who's growing in the Lord grows in their love. You ought to be growing in your love. You're going to grow in your love to God, more love to God. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. As we're growing in the Lord, we find ourselves attracted to so many times. Look, people start out attracted to the Lord because of what they can get out of Him, like a credit card. But when you start growing in the Lord, it's just not all about God who's going to give you something. You fall in love with the giver. When I got saved, I was so thrilled not to have to go to hell. I thought, this is great. A Savior. And I accepted that Savior readily. But you know something? It's not to me anymore just what I can get out of God. I love Him. I love what He is. I'll be really honest, and I think I mean this sincerely. If He never gave me another thing, I will love Him till the day I die. There's some of you, as long as you feel like you're getting stuff from Him, you're good with Him. You ought to be past that. It shouldn't be all about what you can get out of Him, but what about caring about God? What about really loving God? Say, I love my mom because she meets my needs. Buddy, you ought to grow up and love your mama because who she is and she gave you life. See, if you're growing in the Lord, you love Him more and more because of who He is, not because of what He can give you. I think you love people more as you're growing in the Lord. You know, you come to church and you sit through and maybe tolerate my loud mouth, unpredictable preaching. When you first get saved, there's some people that, when the altar call comes, and we'll have one of those in a minute, you know, the pianist comes and we all bow our head and close our eyes. And when you first get saved, you kind of, okay, it's over with. Let's get out of here. I want to get to a restaurant. Need to go home and check the crock pot, see if everything in there is okay. Because we're in a hurry to get out. I'll tell you something. As you grow in the Lord, you begin to be interested in what's going to happen at altar call time because people are going to get saved. And you're thinking, hey, all of our efforts. It's all, you know, this isn't all about impressing each other. It's all about God working and God doing something in the lives of people. And you know, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to find out you not only increase in your love for God, not because of what He can give you, but because of who He is and what He is, but also you're going to find a love for people. I told you this story. A couple of our teenage gals, they were so concerned. And with Gene. Gene, I know you don't know us very well. Boy, I had two teenage girls waiting outside my office 2 weeks ago that came in and said, there's this lady named Jean, and preacher, pray for her. She's not well, and she wants to come to church, and we want her to come to church. And I thought, I am so impressed with those girls. Those teenage girls weren't worried about Facebook, and they weren't worried about wicked boyfriend. They were worried about a lady they didn't even know who was sick that wanted to come to church. And I thought, how admirable for those girls. I'll tell you something. The more and more you get close to God, the more and more you can care about somebody that you don't even know. And you begin to realize that people have a soul. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. And you start getting concerned that people go to heaven and they don't go to hell. Listen, as you're growing in the Lord, your love for God and your love for mankind, it grows. It intensifies. See, growth in the Lord means I do it less and less because I feel like it, but I do it more and more because it's just right to do. And I spend less and less with the wrong kind of people and more time with the right kind of people. And I begin to suffer some attacks from Satan because I'm now doing something for God. I'm just not a spectator. I'm a participator, and I'm on His turf, and He's getting a bit irritated with me. And I'm growing in the Lord, and so I begin loving Him because of who He is, not because of what I can get out of Him. And I begin loving people and realizing this isn't all about me. It's about other people. But not only that, one who's growing in the Lord, they give to aid the kingdom of God more and more. And so, you know, there's more than one way to give. I'll start with the obvious. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Listen, I'll tell you something. You know that we're all commanded to give to God. If you're someone that gets irritated because a preacher says something about giving to the church, you picked the wrong day to come. I'm sorry to irritate you, but I'm going to tell you something. God commands that we give a tithe and offering. He commands that we do that. But let me tell you something that happens. When you first get saved and someone tells you you ought to give your tithe, you may say, all right, I'll give it. I'll give it. I have to. I'm going to give it because I was told I had to. I haven't had that attitude for 25 years. I get to. And some of you know what I mean. If you go to give your tithe or you give your offering and you're almost mad about it and offended by it and you wish God wouldn't have put that in the Bible, you're not growing. You ought to be getting to the point where you say, wow, God is giving me the privilege to give. And I'll let you in on something. He gave you everything. He gave it all to you. You say, well, why does He need it back? He doesn't need it back because He's dependent on you financially. He needs it back so you can prove that you'll obey and love. And when you don't give it back, you don't love and you don't obey. But as we are growing, we give, not begrudgingly, we enjoy it. I have a friend, his name is, I won't mention his last name, but his name's Brother Ron. You know, the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. If you ever go to his church, he's a pastor, I just want you to be ready to be shocked. Because they take this thing of God loves a cheerful giver, they take it a long way out there. When they're passing the plate, everybody shouts. So, give them the plate, somebody says, hey, man! And somebody else says, glory to God. The pastor will stand up and he'll put his check in there and say, hallelujah! Woo! Now, I'm not sure everybody's 100% sincere all the time. And I heard some knucklehead on the radio the other day say, well, if you can't give to God cheerfully, then don't. I thought, no, I think if you can't obey the speed limit cheerfully, it'd be a good idea to obey it anyway. Hey, but as we grow, it ceases to be a burden to give back to God a portion of what He gave to us, and we begin to like it. We enjoy it. It's okay with our spirit. We give of our money. We give of our talents. And as you get closer to God, things become less important to you, and people and God become prominent in your life. Things-oriented people need to grow. Folks, you know, we're not going to take anything with us when we die. But you could take someone to heaven with you. You say, I'm saving up. Hey, the greatest future savings account is in the souls of men and in God. And so, what are we talking about? Growing. Growing. The verse said, but grow. Grow. We all need to grow. And if you're growing, you depend on your emotions and your mind less and less, and God's mind and God's Bible more and more. And if you're growing, you spend less and less time with the wrong crowd and more time with the right crowd. If you're growing, you're going to have the devil get upset with you, and he's going to give you fits sometimes. And someone that's growing, they panic less, and they have faith more in life. And if they're growing, their love for God is more so about who He is instead of what we can get out of Him. And if we're growing, we're concerned about people and we love people more. And if we're growing, we give and enjoy it instead of give and despise it. Not only that, one who's growing in the Lord recognizes more and more the providence of God and God's goodness in their life. The word providence there means God's loving involvement. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose." Folks, you need to understand your confidence in God's will has got to grow. God has a will for you. You begin to realize there are no accidents in the Christian life. Life is not a game of chance. There's a God, and He has a daily will for your life. You know, I hate to tell you all this. There's no such thing as luck. Well, I got my lucky rabbit's foot. Wasn't so lucky for the rabbit. As you're growing in the Lord, it's no longer luck. Life isn't all about circumstance. It's all about God's will. God knows where you're at. God knows what you can handle. Did you know something? When life comes down on you and you say, "I can't take it," God must be unfair. Or you can take it. And just so you know, God's never unfair. Did you know that God can even make some bad things turn out well somewhere along the line for Him? So it didn't turn out so well for me. This isn't all about you. Maybe it's best for God. Listen, when you're growing in the Lord, you begin to grow in humility. When you grow in the Lord, you get better at confessing your sin. You get better at confessing it to God. You get better. Matter of fact, you even get better at confessing it to people. And I'm not a priest, and I don't think I'm supposed to go confess my sin to some man that can forgive me. Only God can forgive sins. But I will tell you this, you need to go tell God when you're wrong and ask Him to forgive you. And when you've done a man wrong, you ought to ask forgiveness. It's just the appropriate thing to do. And as you're growing in the Lord, you realize those things. I think when you're growing in the Lord, you're better at forgiving. I think when you're growing in the Lord, you learn to hate sin and hate evil. One that's growing in the Lord loves the world less and less. I'm going to give you one other thought. We'll be done and it'll all be over here. I think a growing Christian, their life as they're growing is less and less about getting away from the bad and more about living the good. If you spend all your time and all your spiritual energy is, I got to deal with the bad. I'm trying to get away from the bad. I got bad friends. I got bad music. And I got the bad liquor. And I got the bad drugs. And I got the bad conversation. And my life's all about I'm trying to get away from the bad. 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 Well, shouldn't your life be all about doing the good? Shouldn't you be using your spiritual energy to do the good? To do the good? To do the good? But you're over here. It's the bad. It's the bad. It's the bad. Then get away from the bad and go do the good. Your life shouldn't be total chaos, 7 days a week, fighting all the nasty, bad stuff of life. You ought to be separating from the nasty, bad stuff of life and stepping over onto the victory side and letting God use you and letting God change you. You say, I'm tired of all the battles. Then stop fighting all those silly battles and come over here and do something for God. It's called separation. You say, well, Pastor, if you had to deal with what I had to deal with, you'd understand. A long time ago, I decided I didn't want to deal with what you want to deal with. And I left it. I came over here. There's something else I want. I want to achieve something. I want to spend the rest of my life fighting vices and fighting bad and fighting this and fighting that. Look, I'm fighting to capture or to conquer good. I want to do something for God. I don't want to spend all the rest of my life piddling with all the devil's worldly temptations. And if you're growing in the Lord, you're fighting less and less all the evils of life, and you've made a transformation. You're over here using your energy spiritually. That's growth in the Lord. I'm done. He said in 2 Peter 3:8, but grow. But grow. You see, some of you have seen in your lifetime some great Christians. Do you know they all started from infancy? Let me remind you something. Had a group of Bible college preacher boys on a trip with me. And we were in an area where some great preachers had been reared. An old man sitting on a bench. Gray hair. One of the preacher boys slipped off and went over to him. Said, hey, any great men born around here? The old gray haired man said, no, just babies. Can I tell you something? Every Christian that's ever accomplished greatness started as a baby. And I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. There's some of you, you got born again a long time ago. You're still a baby. You're still diapered and babied in the Christian life. Isn't it time for some of you to grow? Shouldn't you be leaving the constant chaos of bad and get over here in the realm of good? Shouldn't you be loving God for what He is instead of what you can get out of Him? Shouldn't you be growing? Shouldn't you ever once in a while do something that makes the devil mad? But grow. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I offer you one of the most wonderful gifts that you could ever receive. That's a gift of salvation. You don't grow into it. It's a gift. God gives it to you. If you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you're a born again Christian today, let me highly recommend to you that you grow. You grow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. How many of you could raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I know that if I died today, I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? If you can't raise your hand, you ought to get born again. You may put those hands down. Hey, listen, is it possible that you're not growing like you should? Are you in neutral? Are you just floating on top of the water like a dead fish? It shouldn't be that way. You ought to be growing. You ought to be growing in your life. You ought to be growing. And listen, I believe that growth is a picture of life. And if you want to live your life, grow. Everybody's to grow. Are you a better Christian than what you used to be? Do you have any desire to be a better Christian? You ought to want to grow the sermon, but grow. Who here would say, Preacher, there's no doubt in my mind. God has touched my heart today. God has spoken to my heart about this thing of growing. And I'll raise my hand and let God see it. Would you raise your hand and say, that's what I want. I want to grow. I want to grow. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will begin to play. And when she does, we'll stand to our feet. And when we do, if you're not saved, why don't you step out and come forward? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're going to be baptized, you can slip out and go back and prepare yourself for baptism. Hey, if you've been saved and you've been baptized and you never joined the church, it might be time for you to grow into it and do what you're supposed to do. If you just need to grow as a Christian, maybe you need to come down here, get on your knees and say, oh God, help me. I don't want to merely exist in this life. I want to be a good Christian. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and ask God to help you to grow. Some of you need to self-analyze a little bit. Maybe some of you need to say, you know what? It's about time for me to fall in love with God, not just what I can get out of Him. Maybe it's time for me to grow in my forgiveness. Maybe it's time for me to grow in my confession. I don't know. But everybody's to grow. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You come. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, I need to grow. Are you stagnant in your Christian life? Are you growing? Are you improving your Christianity? Hey, will you do more and more just because the Bible says, instead of just doing what you feel like doing? Will you spend more and more time with good Christians and less with the worldly, unsaved, carnal people? Are you willing to experience making the devil mad because now you're doing something for God and you've given Him a reason? If you're growing, you're going to panic less and have peace and faith more. And if you're growing, you're going to love God more and you're going to love people more. And if you're growing, you're going to give of yourself and you're going to give. Hey, you're not going to give but grudgingly. You're going to give willingly. And if you're growing, you're going to see that God has a will for you and there's no such thing as luck in life. And there's no such thing as that this just happened to happen. No, God wants something out of it. Are you growing in your humility and your confession and your forgiving? Are you growing in your hatred for wrong and hatred for the world? There are some of you, you are as worldly today as you were 5 years ago. You are exactly what you were 5 years ago, other than you've got a few more miles on you. You ought to be purifying. You ought to be doing better and better. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Nobody is born a success and nobody is born mature. Everybody's born a baby. And then we're to grow from there. That means that there are some of you that are a little younger, but you've been saved far longer than some of the folks that are a little older. The truth is, there's some young people ought to be really behaving yourself far better than even some of the older folks that have gotten saved recently that are baby converts. And thank you, Sarah.